Welcome to the Reformers Pipeline, your dose of empowerment and the pipeline to inform your decisions on how you can support change in our education system. I'm Hadi, and I finally got my tagline.
Oh my God, yes. Okay, come on.
So I'm Hadi, Mr. Broussard, if you're feeling in, hella happy today.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. It was a little raunchy.
Yes, yes.
If you feeling happy today. Okay, we're going to get the flow.
Yes, and the thing is that it's actually going to change every week. I probably
did
tell you that. But today I'm feeling happy, okay. So that's the reason I said that. So, ooh.
So this is Lindsay, affectionately known as Miss Black. And this is just really funny because I literally told Jahat that he has to have a tagline this time. So I'm actually pretty impressed. We'll just see how it goes. All right, so we're just going to give you a couple updates on our lives. I turned 26.
Happy birthday to me.
Yeah. I turned 26 on Groundhog's Day. Kudos to you if you know what date that is, because some people really don't know.
What?
Yeah, they don't know. Which, I mean, why would you know if you... The only way we celebrate Groundhog's Day is like when we were in elementary school.
Right.
We went outside, see our shadow on February 2nd, because that's when my birthday is.
Gotcha.
Yes.
What did y'all do? Did y'all like cut out the hats and stuff?
I don't remember that. I remember one day we was outside and we was looking for the shadow and we didn't see the shadow. And that meant
the shadow of what, the sun?
I don't even know.
Because they had to use the ground.
Looking at art, I don't know, okay? All I know is my birthday's on Groundhog's Day, and I wasn't even trying to make 26 a big deal this year. Jahad was obviously there with me.
So much fun.
Yeah, along with 20 of my other closest friends. But I just noticed that I'm just surrounded by love. And like, I've just been very intentional with the energy of the people that I keep around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good for a speech, and I gave like one of my smaller intimate groups a speech. And I was telling them, like, you know, all like my friends, we probably, if we were all in one space, we probably would not organically all come together.
Right.
But it's a testament to who people are. And my friends are like very consistent with who they are when they're with me and when we're in a larger group. Because when we come together, it's like everybody's known each other. Like everybody knows something. Like everybody feels comfortable sharing like an accomplishment, what they did. Like,
yes.
I just love that. And it's also a testament to me and who I am and the energy that I keep around me. And like, sometimes I'm just like, I'm just a spiritual boss sometimes.
That is so real. And I think that I have to just build on to what you said, because how I felt at all of the events that weekend, was that last week?
It was two weeks ago.
Yeah,
it was
wow.
2 weeks ago.
But how I felt, I just felt, and this is something that Lindsay and I, or Miss Blackwood and I, were talking about. Like, I just felt the love, and I felt supported. I felt like all of her friends had my back. And some of her friends I had just met that day, but it felt as if I had known them for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So, happy birthday to you, and my wishing friends. You many, many more. And yeah, shout out to your crew, your village.
The crew. Speaking of the village, too, y'all had the flu.
Oof.
And why nobody told me how it felt to have the flu? That's crazy about y'all. That's crazy. But anyways, I got the flu. And I didn't even know I had the flu. And I don't usually even go to the doctors. But I went to urgent care Saturday morning because I had to leave work early on Friday. And they told me I had strand B of the flu. I didn't even know there was multiple strands.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So proud of you for going to the doctor, though.
Yeah, that's a big step for me. Yes. I'm grown. I'm 26.
Yes.
Okay. Parents' insurance just ended.
Yes.
Right? But shout out to my village. Especially Jahad and Lamar. Lamar held it down.
Man
came. He said, "Lens, what do you need? Do you have a taste for any something?" And I was like, "I don't know. Like, I don't have a freaking taste for anything because I have the flu. I'm not hungry." He's like, "You want me to come over and make some apps?" Sure.
Right.
Sure. He came there, and like, I was just so appreciative because I'm like, "Wait, you Ubered here? Oh, like, you Ubered here on a Saturday?
That's care.
So
that's
that
love.
You could really hold me down? That's like..." I'm just humbled and I'm honored, and I just appreciate the love and support and the people that texted me and reached out and everything, and the people that didn't know and probably would have texted me and reached out.
Yes.
But the flu is no joke, y'all. It's really not. Please take care of yourselves out here.
Yes.
Period. Oh, God.
Yes.
What's your update, honey?
So, my update is it's countdown till Jamaica for me.
Jamaica.
Yes. And so, I guess by the time this episode hits, I'll be leaving the following day to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. So, I'll be out of the country for like 5 days.
Yes.
But we're going to be celebrating the nuptials of two of my dearest friends, Miss Devaney Brown, soon to be Smith. And Rashad Smith. So happy that I will be out there with the majority of my college friends. And it's just going to be a lot of celebrating, a lot of just Black love. And, you know, that's
black,
something I love.
Black.
Yes. Emphasis on that, okay?
Emphasis on Black love.
But, yeah, so I'm super excited about that. Although I'm really excited about that, I'm even more excited about this podcast to drop, and I'm excited for everybody to be listening in this week. So
they're going to like this episode.
They are. And so, yeah.
That's all. Very excited. Cut the noise. If you're not tuning in to Kicking It with Key, then you are surely missing out. Key is a YouTuber, self-care enthusiast, an educator, a queen of unboxing, and a lupus survivor. And Key is also one of my really good friends. Kicking It with Key focuses on sharing personal journeys to light the pathway for others through tips and hacks for everyday struggles. If you're interested in cutting the noise and living your very best life, tune in every other Sunday at 7 p.m. on YouTube. You can find Key on YouTube at Kian Cole. Let me spell it out for you. KianaCole. You can also find Kicking It with Key on Instagram at KickingItWithKey_. I'm going to spell that out for you too. KICKINITWITHKI_. Join Key so you can also live your very best life.
So if you caught us last episode, we jumped into our three different segments. So today we're going to go ahead and start with terminology time. Our term of this episode is college readiness. College readiness is when students are equipped with the knowledge and skills that are needed for them to get to college. And just to give you a little bit of an example, knowledge and speaking specifically to like the knowledge and skills that you need, we want to talk about this because oftentimes students aren't aware of what those standards are. And more importantly, we are trying to figure out who decides these standards. So go ahead and think about that. I'm going to pass it over to Miss Black.
Yes, in the next segment, it's called We Love the Kids, okay? Because that we do. So just so you remember that this is one of those times where we just highlight a moment that we've had with a student in the classroom. So I had an original idea and I told Jahad about it, but I want his reaction to be genuine. So I'm big on birthdays, and it's a couple of Aquarius birthdays in my classroom, and I'm going to refrain from saying names, but one of the girls, she my dog, so we'd be like, Aquarius, yeah. So her birthday came about, and we sing happy birthday, so we do the traditional happy birthday song, and it ends with happy birthday to you. And then we start counting. We're like, are you one?
Are you two? I used to love doing that.
Yes, me too. I still love it. They get older now, so it's taking a little longer. So she turns 11. 11 is a palindrome. 11 is also half of 22, which is my favorite number. And they all know that. So she was really excited that she was 11.
Hashtag sing double.
Hello, hashtag sing double. So we then like ask the kids, and I'm sure you're familiar, Hottie. We asked the kids, like, can you nominate something for being 11? And they're like, 11's fantastic, or 11 is lit. And then one of my more socially awkward friends, and it's great because nobody makes fun of him. Like, we all just accept him.
Yeah.
He was like, 11 is when you finally start getting a grip on life. I said something. It's wrong with him. Why? What is he talking about? a grip on life. It was so funny. Like, the next day, you know, I had went home sick the next day, and 8:35 came around, and I was like, oh, no, I have to text his mom. And I text his mom. I was like, I'm so sorry for texting this late, but I have to tell you, this is hilarious. She was dying laughing. What do you mean you have a grip on life?
A whole grip.
What are you talking about? I have no idea.
I love that.
It was great. It was really funny.
Wow. If 11, and then what are we doing now? At 11, you get a grip on life.
You say you have a grip on life.
Wow, go ahead.
And what's crazy is that I actually need to go back and ask him what he meant, because he probably has meaning behind it.
I can only, they always do. That's the best thing about kids. Like, it may not actually be the meaning that we want, but I'm sure that he has a full, thorough explanation as to like where this was.
He does. I'm sure he does. And I'm about to ask him tomorrow.
Wow.
So those were our segments. We're about to move into our concept development, which is going to be the bulk of the episode. Now, this one is really exciting because we're going to have fun. Now, when me and Hadi, like a year and a half ago, talked about creating this podcast, we weren't serious. We're serious now. We weren't serious before, but we saw this article and we just thought it was like funny, triggering, you know, everything in between. And the article was called, listen carefully, "If People Talk to Other Professionals the Way They Talk to Teachers." So there are a bunch of little examples as to how people would talk to certain professionals the way they talk to teachers. And so we have right in front of us, which you can't see, but we have a box and we have a list of those things, but they're all in like on little strips of paper. So we're going to pull a strip of paper out and we're going to read. We're going to take turns and you're just going to get our genuine reaction and how this relates to education. Some of them a little more straightforward than others, but I think you guys are going to like the discourse that we have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just think that we need to highlight the teacher prep that went into this. You know, it's been a while since I've been in the classroom, but
yeah, I cut some paper, y'all. He printed it out and cut the paper, and we put it in a box.
That was yes. It. I might as well highlight that.
All right. Go you. Okay, you can go first.
Yes. Damn, look at you in that dress. Now I'm hot for quality control manager for the Western Division.
Ooh, this one about to make me mad. Okay, let me read this again.
Wow, that's...
Damn, look at you in that dress. Now I'm hot for quality control manager for the Western Division. That's me crumpling it. I'll go first, because I'm...
Please.
This is essentially talking about people sexualizing teachers. That's what this is talking about. So a teacher, I mean, there's this idea that like people fantasize about teachers. I mean, it's not really an idea. It's literally a concept. People are selling it, or the hot teacher. And so now like when a teacher looks attractive, it's like, ooh, like, ooh, is that in that dress? That's a teacher dress. Or like the fact that I wear slacks. Actually, the slacks I have on today. If you don't know me, I'm kind of thick. I'm thick a little bit. Ow. So, and I'm getting a little thicker because I be in the gym or whatever.
Yes.
But that just means that sometimes my business casual slacks look like business casual leggings because they're just a little, they're a little tight. they fit though.
Right.
But it's just, it's annoying because like sometimes I do get comments from people at work. Like just my girlfriends at work, like, oh, okay, Miss Black, you looking a little, and I'm like, okay, but don't sexualize me.
Right.
Like it's you that's sexualizing me.
Right.
And like I work in a space with children, with Black children. And guess what, everybody? The Black moms got booty. I'm telling you.
No way.
Yes way. And so I'm like, you guys continue to sexualize me, but they go home and they see their moms and their aunts and their mom's friends. Like, women are women, whether they're teachers or not.
Exactly. And much more comfortable clothing. Like, just stop.
It's really annoying. I also hate when, like, I go on a date, which I haven't been on in a long time, but I hate when I go on a date and I tell, or, like, I'm at the bar and I tell the people I'm a teacher and they immediately jump to, they're like, oh, so, like, I bet all the little boys, like, really like you. And I was like, that's your first thought? Like, That just sounds very pedophilic to me.
It does.
And like, I'm like, yeah, I said, first of all, I ain't had no little boys try me. Period. Because that's not how I present myself.
Exactly.
So if I'm wearing leggings, if I'm wearing whatever I'm wearing to work, I shouldn't be wearing leggings to work, but whatever, because I'm going to wear them. Like, I've never had an inappropriate interaction. And I teach sixth grade boys, because they're always like, well, no, I bet they like you. I'm like, they can like me. That's fine. Like, I can't control what you find attractive.
Exactly.
But it's not appropriate for you to talk about it with me.
No.
And they're well aware of that. But it's weird because, like, the amount of things teachers do, and like, you met me and you're like, oh, the little boys must like you. Dang, that's it?
There's nothing else that you can contribute outside of you just being this body and this person that needs to be sexualized. That's so wild. It's beyond me. I'm trying to think. I do think that I don't feel like I had as many interactions like that, but I do think that with being a male in the classroom, there's this automatic, like, oh, okay, like, you can't, especially teaching elementary school, I feel like there's this hyper-awareness of how you can't pick kids up, you can't give kids hugs, you can't do, and I, me being the teacher that I was, it just was like this natural thing, especially when they look up to me as like a father figure.
You being a teacher, exactly. Yes, but you being a human being.
Literally. And they look to us for love, they look to us for compassion, and more importantly, they're looking at us as that model figure so that we can like show them, oh, okay, like,
yeah,
this person's feeling like this is what you can do, like,
yes.
And of course there's ways to go around and ways to make sure that the student is comfortable, but those are the conversations that you're having, and you're hoping that they can then take that elsewhere, but they're not thinking about they're not sexualizing us.
They're not.
Like,
they're really not.
It doesn't happen. Like, yeah, so I completely agree.
Y'all are doing it. And I hug all my kids, especially my fifth grade class. They, oh my gosh, they are huggers, okay? They all hug me. We do some type of form of touch, whether it's a high five or fist bump, before they come into class in the middle of the day. Like, when I'm sick and I'm like, don't touch me, they're like, oh.
Hurting in their feelings.
All
What's
right.
the next one, Miss Black?
Next one. Oh, that's one a little long. I'll put that back on flag where you know. All right, let's give us a goodie. Okay. Since you're a plumber and you're around them all day, I have to ask, do you ever find one of your pipes attractive, even though you know you shouldn't go there?
Wow, we're just really, we're really going there today. two for two. Yeah, and this just builds on to what we were already saying. Like, I don't, my kids are literally, or my students were literally like, my pride and my joy, like the reason as to why I would get right. excited for on any given day was because of the thoughts that they would have, or like the how I could help make their day when they're disappointed or they come in and had a rough day. But like to think that you're going to engage in some type of pedophilia and think like that's not the first thing that comes to my mind. The first thing that comes to my mind is, goodness, like I am not prepared for this lesson. Like, how am I going to do this today? Or like,
right.
how am I going to build up, muster up this energy to like put my teacher self, best teacher self on today? But to think that I'm going to be engaged, like what?
Into an inappropriate like relationship with a child. It's unfortunate because those are things that like, it happens.
It does, yeah.
Like, I mean, if we think about the ratio of relationships to teachers and the inappropriate ones,
right.
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that number is pretty small, but
right.
I remember watching that Lifetime movie, The Mary Kay Letourneau Story. My aunt used to watch Lifetime all the time, and she was like some older white woman who ended up, actually, she has kids by him. I think they're still together. Some, like, one of her younger, he was like Pacific Islander. So I think of that story.
Oh my goodness.
Because it's not that it doesn't happen,
right.
but that's not like, it's not a regular practice, and I'm tired of people like assuming these negative things about teachers. But that's why we have the podcast, so that
Absolutely.
People can have
so people can know
a different mindset.
What's going on? What's going on? Okay, so before you give me a ticket, officer, I just wanted to mention my taxes pay your salary.
Don't do me. Don't do me.
I'm
silence.
Just right. I just like it doesn't work that way.
It really doesn't work that
at
way
at all.
Like it just doesn't work that way. I wish it was that easy. Like, I wish that you, that I wish that you as a person could decide that you're going to pay me more. Right. But like, I'm also not, I've never had anybody say this to me. I've also never said to anybody, but like, I'm not going to not hold you accountable just because you think you dangle this money over me.
Right.
Honey, it's not, it's just never been that serious.
But the thing is, though, and I think that there is like a, another side of that, though, because I do think that it's unfortunate, but there like are these cheating scandals that you hear about with teachers who are bogged down with like all these standardized test scores and things that they, but just like you said, just like we talked about the on the last point, like that number of folks, those number of educators are, to my, I think that is very few, far and in between compared to, to the educators that are actually like, no, like my standards are my standards and this is that. Like, there's nothing to talk about.
That's it. I'm going to read this one again. I'm going to go on.
All right.
Do you have anything else to say about that?
No, that was kind of dry. I feel like it's going to get better, though.
It's going to get a juicy one. Juicy. Oh, okay.
See? We caught it. Soak it up.
I love to just play with actuary statistics all day. That would be so fun. I bet you don't even feel like you're at work. I feel like, I think I talked about this earlier today. This is basically, in case people missed it, this is when people say to you like, oh, really? I thought teaching would be fun. Like, you don't just get to, like, it's probably really fun to, like, play with them and stuff. And I'm like, you don't know what it entails.
Right.
You don't know what it entails from any grade level. Like, you think I just come, I told my kids the other day, I was like, imagine waking up every morning and knowing that somebody's going to disrespect you that day.
Please say that again.
That's what I live. I wake up every weekday. And I know I'm about to walk into a space where somebody is going to disrespect me. Not one time. I'm going to be disrespected multiple times. It's going to be in a bunch of different ways, too.
Yep.
I'm going to be expected as a human being not to react, but to think in the moment and respond amongst the 1,100 million other things that I need to do.
Regardless of the point of the year, regardless of the time of the day, whatever, regardless of that happened to you previously.
But I'm supposed to be... Like, somebody really asked me, like, oh, I thought teaching would be fun. I'm like, please don't disrespect me. And I know this person didn't mean any disrespect to me.
Right.
But I was just like, wow, the amount of ignorance here that you think that all I do is play with kids.
You know, the other side of that, though, is it's like this whole assumption that just because we get breaks that we are going to be a lot more well-rested, such as, so like, spring breaks.
Okay. Well-rested. Rest.
Well, what is rest? Rest?
Yes. Drake.
Hey, but like, I just have never, like, I don't think that they realize, like, okay, so I used to work from 7:30 to 4:30, and then sometimes I would go to class, but depending on the day, right, sorry, yikes, but depending on the day, I would go to class, but they don't realize that you are kind of on call sometimes as an educator, like, you might get a call about your student running away from home, and you having to leave class to go handle that situation. Or the other hand, maybe you're going to get a call about your student being rushed to the hospital because they were engaging in self-harming behaviors. And I think that oftentimes, like, those traumatic experiences that you actually go through, those aren't put at the forefront of what an educator is. It's always, oh, okay, like, you sing these songs with kids, you read a book to a child, you practice math facts, but it's so much bigger. Like, when you talk about an educator, you're really developing a holistic child. Like, you're thinking about all aspects of them.
You are. And I'm just like, to plan a lesson, like, just think about it, people. Like, I know y'all don't really think about this stuff all the time, especially if you don't have teacher friends. But, like, I started with 29 sixth graders in my classroom. 29 sixth graders in my classroom. People thought that was okay. So I had to spend more time and energy preparing to advocate for myself. One, that's not fun. That's not playing with kids. And then on top of that, I'm also responsible with closing the content gap. Like, okay, you want to talk about how to add and subtract fractions, but if you don't know how to convert a mixed number into an improper fraction,
right,
which you learned 2 years ago. You had access to this 2 years ago. You don't know how to do it. Now I have to teach you 2-3 years of content just so you can understand the current math. Right. Like, this is not, it's not a game, people.
No.
And people, and we're all human beings. So also can't expect one person to get it this at the same exact time the other person gets it. I have to keep repeating it, right? Then we got different types of learners. I know people heard about visual, auditory, and kinesthetic learners. It's a whole bunch of different type of learners in the classroom, too.
Exactly.
But I have to teach to all of them. So, and also, they may have got it that day. Do they remember it 2 days later? So who's playing? Because I'm not playing.
Nope.
I'm not playing.
So, yeah. Back to
I feel like I'm at work every day.
Now, even when you're not at work, sometimes you feel like you're at work.
Right. Exactly. What in the world?
Are you the next one or is this on me?
Oh, it's on you.
Let's see if I can get another. Oh, yeah, because you were like, you got a good one. Sure, the pay is low, but I bet the joy of putting together press releases for local events is reason enough to stick with this job in the events division of the Chamber of Commerce. You must really believe in its mission. Sure, the pay is low. Pat yourself on the back.
Yo, that's like, I've had friends say this, and I'm sure I've snapped at them, but they're like, yeah, Linz, but you go to work every day and like you can see the benefits of your work every day. And like I work for insert corporate company here and I don't see what I'm doing. Like I know I'm not doing, you know, what I could be doing for the community. And you see that. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm also a human being and I want to reach self-actualization like everybody else. Like I want to be able to do all the things I want to do. So yeah, I am getting paid low.
Right.
And there are, I do see some of the benefits. Like the next day, like you can see some of the benefits during the day.
Absolutely.
But
yeah,
like
sometimes.
If you're a real like I've talked to older educators and like they don't see how they've impacted kids immediately. Like they wait until years later, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, 6 years later down the line when somebody sends them an email like,
right,
hey, I did this, hey, I did that, hey, I remember this one conversation from 7 years ago. Like
right.
That's when they're like, oh, I really see how I'm benefiting. Like it's not, there's no instant gratification
exactly.
in this job. Like what?
And a lot of that I think has to deal with like this whole idea that test scores tell us something. And I think that going back to our college readiness, it actually doesn't say anything. Like
it doesn't say much.
For me, I really can care less if a child can perform high on a test because the thing is like, I need to know that you're going to be able to function in society. Like,
yeah.
This world, we don't operate on tests. When I come to work, I don't have to take a test on a daily basis.
Right.
Like, am I personable? Am I able to draft this email and send it out?
Am I speaking when I walk in the room? Because they ain't doing that.
Talk about it.
Still upset.
Oh, my goodness. But, and then there was one more other point about the pay is low and me feeling some type of way about that. But I don't remember. So
that's fine. I think I had another point to talk about. Like, I mean, there is some gratification that comes, right?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Celebrating birthdays and hearing my student talk about you get a grip on life when you're 11. What are you talking about? But that was hilarious.
Right.
But like, I teach. Go ahead and write it down so you remember. I teach Black kids, and so every moment is actually kind of scary when they don't get something.
Right.
Like I be thinking about like if a kid like gets so upset that they slam the door and run out of the classroom, I'm like thinking about how that transfers into adulthood and what that looks like outside of these walls in this classroom where this is a safe space. Like that's scary.
Right.
It is scary to know like you no matter what you do based on the statistics and the data and the actual numbers like I really don't want this day to happen. There are lots of educators who are getting a call that a student has passed away. There are lots of educators who are like, dang, I just saw somebody getting like handcuffed by the police. I taught that kid.
Right.
Like, those are the things that we have to think about. Like, yeah, is this really fun to hug them right now? And like, they may have a C- right now in the class. But like, if they don't continue to get the help and the support that they need, they're going to fall below the wayside. And that's like a very heavy weight and burden that we carry every day.
Right.
Like there's fun. There's lots of worry though. In that if I don't get this right, what does that mean for their trajectory?
What is the implications of my decision on like my effort when I wake up every day on this child, on these children, like on all these students' lives.
Yes.
And I think that that's what I was going to like circle back to is the fact that educators are the only people who have an impact on a constant impact on society. And this is what you were getting at earlier today when you were saying that literally teachers have to teach people who will eventually go on to be doctors, who will eventually go on to be lawyers, who will eventually go on to be working in the neighborhood grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like, why is it the case that these folks aren't truly valued, aren't truly invested in?
Speak on it, my brother.
Whew. But that's probably a whole episode in itself, honestly.
That is a whole episode. Let's think about that. All right. Okay. Excuse me. My 7-year-old son, who mere minutes ago lied about whether he had to pee or not, just told me that you wouldn't give him any ketchup, even though he says he asked for it politely. Now, I'm going to ask the manager to move us to another service table and also fire you. Yes, this is great. This is great. This is really great. So here's the thing. Parents, in general, parents have a lot of say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of say, as they should, because, you
right.
know, it's their kid.
Absolutely.
But, like, it's like you can come in ignorant and, like, guns a-blazing. And you hear the story from your child and you immediately believe what your child says. I'm not saying make them out to be a liar.
Right.
But as an adult, we have to be in, as a human being, we have to be in a space where we can get the context of the whole story so you can understand what your kid is saying. And then they come in and they talk about, oh, I'm gonna talk to your principal. I'm gonna have you get fired. Now listen, like this actually hasn't happened to me.
Right.
But like I've seen it happen to other people. I've heard of it happening. It's like, so you gonna fire me because your son lied
right
2 minutes ago and then asked me for something and I denied them of the something that they didn't need for the learning.
Right.
But now you're upset that they didn't get it, even though like it's a consequence as if kids don't have consequences, which is the problem because sometimes they don't. Like that blows me because that don't happen nowhere else. Like there's you guys have a, like, I don't really know exactly how it goes in corporate America, but I'm sure there's like a chain of command. There's a ladder and there's a place where you can do these complaints. And some of these parents literally demand to see the principal when they walk in or they walk up to the principal. And so the principal may not even have your side of the story or the context. And so the parent's like, oh, I'm about to get you in trouble. And we always, always undoubtedly have to be told or asked how we're going to change how we responded or how we're going to change how we acted, as if it's not a learning moment for everybody in the space.
Right. I completely. So I definitely have this vivid memory of a parent coming up to the school once and getting in almost a physical altercation with another.
Are we talking about the same
yes,
school?
We
okay.
Are.
We are. I can tell by your eyes.
And in those moments, it's very interesting to me because.
Can we pause?
Yeah.
The parent came into the building and was about to fight. But anyways, parent came in like was ready to fight as if we're out on the street.
Right.
Mind you, they had to walk up several flights of steps with the same energy. And the person, it's a DC parent, right? But the staff member, also from D.C., like, y'all from the same area. She not about to play with you.
Okay.
Like, it's like, you can really take people out of it, and we're expected to still be like, no, you
right.
cannot respond emotionally. Like, oh. she is about to be a physical threat, and it wasn't like, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The parent
At
had
all.
To be held back.
Yes.
Like, but sorry, I had
no,
to give the,
no, no.
the full
I,
context, because you said altercation,
right.
and I'm like, no, they was about to fight. Jihad.
Right, that's the truth. And like in those moments, you think about just like this whole idea that educators are like, who's on your side in those moments? And it sucks that you even have to think about this. Like, is my administration going to have my back, or is it going to be me having to put my job on the line so that I can defend myself in this moment?
And this person also had a kid. So it's not like it's not like I'm just fighting for myself.
Exactly.
Like, I have a whole family. I have somebody to take care of.
Exactly. And that's like where the dehumanization, like that's what it comes from. Like as educators, we just are expected to always go high when you have a long day, when you have had mm-hmm. to deal with so many kids who have disrespected you or even adults who have disrespected you, whatever the case is. And you just always have to have your stuff together. And that's not fair. You can never have a bad moment. I just imagine like if you weren't feeling well that day and you still ended up going to work, which is what we often do.
Literally.
And still have to suffer through that type of situation. Like that just is so. It's
and not be protected.
No.
I believe that parent was banned. Wasn't the
for like
banned?
A week.
Banned for a week, right?
But and then it took staff. But the thing is What got me is the fact that administration, they were telling the teachers to not address the parent and not to hold the parent back and just to let the parent do what they needed to do.
Lost your mind.
And I was like, absolutely not.
Because they show as hell didn't call the police.
No.
That's what needed to happen.
Absolutely. If you don't feel like you have the resources to deal with the situation, then find someone who does.
Please.
Because you came and opened up another episode for another day.
Another episode. Oh,
but
yeah.
Yeah. But whatever the case, like I just think that it's very important that as a parent that, like, seek to understand the situation, it's like, of course, you're definitely going to come in and support your child and try
yeah.
to make sure that you understand your child's side of the story. But make sure you understand the whole situation before you just jump to the defense of your child.
Especially if your child is safe and your child is not being abused.
Yeah.
Like, and I also would like to, you know, just tell parents that they just are going to have to be just be aware and be mindful that the teacher is with your kid all day. Okay? Hmm. The teacher is with your kid all day.
All right, so this is the last one. Since my singer-songwriter thing isn't taking off yet, I've been thinking about going into lawyering. I mean, how hard can it be? I know criminals like me, or at least the two that I see once a year at Thanksgiving do.
This is the most problematic one.
You are really wussying over there. Sorry.
And you know this is going to be triggering for some people.
Yeah.
And that's okay because it's my opinion and that's just what it's going to be. But this is essentially, if you didn't catch it, referring to people who fall back on America's children as a plan B. Sorry, let me rephrase that. This is referring to people who join teacher preparation programs with the intent on, non-traditional teacher preparation programs with the intent of paying off their student loans. Like, right? Or it's like, this is a backup plan. Like, oh, well, shoot, let me just teach. Like, how hard could it be? Like, it couldn't be that bad. Like, I've seen people do it before. Like, I know people who've done it. Kids like me. It's not that simple.
No.
It's not that simple, and it's very offensive to me. To me personally and some of my other friends, because I went to Howard University. I graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Elementary Education. Like,
did you?
You know? like, I decided this for me.
Right.
And I went through hell and high water.
Hmm.
Like, I went through hours and hours of endless work, of endless, observation hours. Like,
right.
I was thrown into a classroom and they like expected to teach the class for like my teaching practicum. I paid for assessments, because let's also be mindful that people that part of these non-traditional programs can actually have their fees waived.
Right.
You can have your fees waived when you're trying to get into a master's program just because you're part of
a certain program. Yeah.
And I can't, but you get this benefit. And then you come in here and you teach for 2 years because you think that's what you're giving to the community. But do you understand the teacher turnover rate? Do you understand the lack of retention and how that impacts the culture of an entire school? And do you understand that most of the schools they're being put into are like low income schools that
right.
service Black and Brown students? So what you're telling me is you're okay with not being appropriately trained, not being appropriately supported, because I just haven't seen it from multiple teacher preparation programs
right.
that I've seen, and falling back on the kids that come from impoverished communities. Or is it impoverished?
Improper.
Thank you. I'm talking about improper. Forgive me, y'all. No. We gotta correct that. But anyways, you're these kids who are coming from like these oppressed cultures, like historically, and you think it's okay that you're gonna be in a classroom and teach them?
Right.
And some people, like, they know that they can't teach when they get in there. And then some people, it's dangerous. Like, they think they're teaching. They think they're teaching. And that's scary for me. And it's scary for me to have, like, dedicated my career to this and work in the in buildings with people with that mindset. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I have to take the pull the cat out of the bag.
Oh,
I was one of those people that did those teacher preparation programs.
Mm-hmm.
But in short, I actually was on track to become an educator. So in undergrad, I was a secondary education major. And it just so happened that my senior year of college, I wasn't able to finish my student teaching and practicum. And so because of that, I applied to Teach for America and did that for 1 year and then resigned from the Corps. And I was going to Johns Hopkins and just figured that this was not for me. And so that was the reason why I didn't transfer to HU after a year in the Corps, because it just did not make sense to me. I didn't feel like the resources that I was getting as an educator at JHU was what I needed to teach at the school that I was teaching at. I kind of felt as if I was at some type of like DeVry type of program, and no shots or shade to DeVry. It's just, I did not feel as if the adjunct faculty that was teaching me at Johns Hopkins was faculty that actually cared about the students that I was serving.
Right. Cause you were all the way in DC.
And all these professors I had a professor in Texas. I had a professor here, there. It just didn't make sense to me. And so I am completely anti alternative teaching programs, and I don't feel as if they do what is needed. They don't give educators the resources that they need to. There's just no way for you to get like a 6-month training, a 6-month crash course in how to be a teacher, and then be thrown into a classroom. You don't know pedagogy. You don't, like, there's just so many different things in which you cannot get. This time is 6 months. It's actually like a summer, four weeks. So with that being said, I do think that we as a country have to do a better job of looking at these programs and stop funding these programs.
Please.
And I was actually just talking to an amazing professor yesterday, Dr. Khalil. She was telling me about all these alternative teaching preparation programs and how the whole idea of Teach for America even was founded. And it was just more so about white people investing in Wendy Kopp as opposed to investing in the idea of what their motto is one day every child will have the equal opportunity to getting a right to education. But that's not how it was founded. And if we actually deconstruct that
myth, I know that.
We'll be able to get into a better space. Because if these funders were able to fund the public education system, then I just really am curious to know, like, where will we be?
Be on it. And this is not to say that there aren't educators that are in these programs, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't want, because I say my opinion, but like Jihad came from one of these programs,
literally.
But he is somebody who wants to be an educator or wants to like evoke change in the education system. And sometimes these programs bring that out of these people, but more oftentimes than not, there are many people who are just doing it because you didn't get into law school. Like, that's just not fair. It's not fair. And I just don't think that you can talk about social justice and, like, for example, be like a Black person who wants to advocate for Black people when you're okay with giving Black children and our Black future scraps.
Literally, that's what it is. It's scraps.
And can't bang with you.
Because we don't talk about the rest. We don't talk about that for nothing. Like, it's just so important to realize that going into education is literally a calling, and you have to be very passionate about what you do, because some days it's going to take a lot more energy to wake up than others. And you're not just going to jump out of bed. It sucks, but like, you have to be able to go in front of your students, to go in front of those 29 faces and be able to say, you know what, like, I'm doing this so that you can make it to wherever you want to go and beyond. And to be frank, like, it's there's certain moments that are just not about you, and that your kids come before you, and you have to be able to think like that. And when you're not, when you're just consistently thinking about yourself and how you're trying to make that next pivot out of the classroom, how does that help the students that you're showing up to teach?
Drops mic. And now it is time for our call to action. Our call to action for this week actually has a couple of pieces. But the first piece is to just tell a friend. Like, if you enjoy the podcast, you learn something new, go ahead and begin a conversation, have some discourse with somebody about what you learned about the podcast or your reflections. We're still trying to get our listens up. We're still trying to make sure our reach is being extended. We are already being heard and listened to in 17 different states. Call out a player.
Yes.
And also 4 different countries internationally.
International.
Shout out to all my international people. It's really dope. It's a really humbling feeling. We just want to continue to have these conversations being held in all 50 states and in all countries. And then our second piece of the call to action. Our next episode is going to be about Black History Month, y'all.
Yes.
Happy Black History Month, Black people and our allies. Now, we want to know about your experiences during Black History Month when you were in school, like from elementary school. We want to hear about some things you remember, who you remember learning about, what activities, if you remember anything. So there's going to be a couple ways that you could let us know about your experiences in Black History Month, because we want to definitely talk about them for the next episode. Please go ahead and text us if you know us personally. We've been really privy to your feedback that you've been giving us already. You can also message us on Instagram. We're going to have like a question piece. We're going to just try to get some crowd-served information on your experiences with Black History Month. There's also going to be a Google form in the link, in the information of this episode, if you're into that too. So there's a couple different ways. Call to action. Tell a friend about the Reformist Pipeline. And also be ready to reach out to us and tell us about your experience with Black History Month.
And that's all we have for the week. Peace, love, and light.
Yes. Hootie!